From WHYY in Philadelphia, I'm Cherry Gregg, and this is a Studio 2 Extra. Philadelphia Eagles running back Saquon Barkley is a superstar. But long before the NFL lights, Saquon Barkley was just one of five kids raised in a humble home in Bethlehem, Pennsylvania, by parents Alabe Barkley and Tanya Johnson. Today, Tanya Johnson helps lead the Michael Ann and Saquon Barkley Hope Foundation, using her family's journey to build hope for the next generation. She stopped by Studio 2 to talk about football, family, and the power of giving back. So I read something about you, and I'm going to throw this out there, because I've read that you said you are not a football person.
No, not at all.
How is that possible?
I don't understand the game. I look at it. I don't know what's going on. I know touchdowns. My husband said I need a, it's a football book for dummies.
And you don't know. You have a son who is a superstar running back in Saquon Barkley, and you still do not understand the game.
And I will not look at football unless I'm watching his game or one of my grandson plays as well. But other than that, not a sports fan.
So what do you just watch? The jersey with the number on the back? How do you do this? That's about it.
I mean, but I also, I'm aware of who else is on the team, you know, and but then I'll be like, what's their position again?
It's
sad, but it's true. So.
Yeah. Well, you know what? I grew up in a football family, too, and I still have questions about the game, although I do understand it a lot better. And so you had this desire to give back, and not just give back by putting your name on something, because I've seen Saquon actually go there, work with the kids, do the work. Where did that come from, and how did you instill that into him?
I think it just came from a family environment. We was a close-knit family, transparent with our kids, you know, from the beginning to the end. And I think that just played the role in him becoming who he is, you know, and wanting to interact with children. He just wants to interact. He'll be there when he can, you know, because football schedule, a lot of people are like, well, we need Saquon here, we need him there, but he also has a full-time job, you know, he's employed by the NFL. But we try to make it happen, you know, around times that he can be available, because he wants to be there. He wants to experience with the kids. He wants to laugh with them, hear their stories, you know, and tell him about his. And sometimes just a conversation can ease someone's day.
Yeah. And so you come from the Bronx, you and your husband, and you were there. And that's where Saquon was actually born.
No. Yeah. Saquon was born in the Bronx, but Saquon moved to Pennsylvania in 2001 at the age of 3. You know, so we always got to clear that up too. He was born in the Bronx, but he was raised in Pennsylvania. You know, only reason they was still familiar with the Bronx, because we made a point of taking him back home for like 2 weeks in every summer. I think for about 10 to 12 years, we took them back home.
Yeah.
You know, and they had to experience the park, the zoo, walking. You know, they had to experience those things.
So. And so growing up, but you came to Pennsylvania for a better life for your family. Why did you decide to move here?
Because I wanted to get away from New York. I couldn't take it no more.
Yeah.
I was a kid, and as a kid, I always knew that this is not where I want to be for the rest of my life. You know, but I relied on my parents. So if they wasn't moving, I couldn't go nowhere. But when I got the opportunity, as I got older and started having my own kids, I said, you know, this is not. And then I had a teenager son, and it was a lot going on. And I'm like, no, I'm getting my son out of here.
Yeah. And you were a young mom.
I was a young 15.
15 when you had your first child. And then you moved your entire family here to Pennsylvania. What was that? How was that life changing for your family?
It really took a toll at first. Like homesick, you know, it was a big difference. So I really couldn't take it, but I also still was working in New York, and he would keep the kids. I would work 4 days. I'd come home for 3, but then it came to a point when it was like, enough with New York. I'm done.
Yeah.
I'm done. This is home. This is where we're going to be at. No more running back and forth up there. No, only when we need to.
How did that sort of like, I guess, put some resilience into the family and you all as a unit?
I mean, it just actually made us stronger. And I think it made the kids understand a little more. Saquon was fairly young, you know, so I'm not sure if he really understood. You know, like I said, I think he just thought when he was staying with the family that helped us out, like if it was some kind of like sleepover, You know what I mean? My older son was very much aware of what was going on. And my daughter, because she's 3 years older than Saquon, my oldest daughter. But, I mean, I think it just made us stronger, you know. And then staying together. Because even though they was over there with the neighbor who helped us out, they seen us every day.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So it wasn't like we was distant from them. Like, okay, we'll be back and pick you up in 2 or 3 months. You know, no, they seen us every day.
Yeah.
So it just made the family stronger. And then, you know, and made the siblings stronger, because the only ones they really had to rely on was each other.
Yeah. And it kind of links everybody mm-hmm. in the family. And so I know that your husband was the main person who took Saquon to games and was the one who sort of coached him along and paid a lot of attention to his sports. But when was your veil lifted, and when did you know that you had a really great athlete living in your house?
So I used to take him to his Little League games, too. I attended Little League games
okay.
When my husband was working and he couldn't make it. I walked with him to you know, his games. But to be perfectly honest, is when he got into high school is when my husband's like, listen, enough. Like, you need to come and see this, you know. And I'm like, okay. And like, I did my job. I fed them. I made sure he had his vitamins. I washed their clothes. They went to their doctor's appointments, you know. So I wasn't a sports person. But he's like, enough, let's go. And then when I'm like, oh, my God, oh, this kid. So,
yeah, he was fast.
Yeah, I'm like, wow, okay. But you knew that playing, when they would play around in the house with it, he was strong. So it's like, all right, stop, you know, like, enough. But then it's like, oh, you're taking size. And it's like, no, you just, your strength is crazy. Like,
yeah. And by the way, I watched the new documentary, Saquon. I mm-hmm. saw you and your husband prominently featured throughout there. And one of the things that he said about you, he said, my mom is a dog in the best possible sense, that she makes things happen, that if she needed to pick up the slack, work two jobs, do whatever needed to be done, she would make things happen.
I tried.
And so how did you instill that? Because you look on the field and he knows how to make things happen. Can you talk about some of the family values that you and your husband, some of that work ethic that you all instilled in him?
I think they just fairly seen. You know what I mean? They was there, so they was able to observe everything that we was doing. You know, and I think they just took that in. He took that in as, wow. You know, so I think it made his work ethics stronger because of seeing what me and him would do. He knew we didn't have the cars, so dad would walk to work. You mm-hmm. know what I mean? Mom would take 2 buses to work. You know, mom would walk across the bridge to work at a gas station. Dad would walk mom across the bridge at 5:30, 6 o'clock in the morning. And I think just observing all of that just made what he wanted to do and what he was going to obtain, his goals, just that much clearer.
Yeah. One of the lessons he said that, you know, was a big one was not to quit.
Right.
Yeah. And he had to push through, you know, some serious adversity early in his career. Mm-hmm. And you all were right there with him.
Yeah. His father always told him, well, he told all the kids, but he definitely let Saquon know as well, like, you don't quit nothing. You don't quit. You know, you just continue, keep going. You know, you're going to fall. It's not how you fall. I always tell him that. It's not how you fall. It's how you get back up. And he just took that and ran with that. You know, sometimes you're going through something, you may be in pain, you think it's the end of the road, but no, don't give up.
Yeah. And so now you get to work together with the Michael Ann and Saquon Barkley Foundation. And what is your vision for this foundation?
Our vision for the foundation is just to see it grow more, to see more people get involved. You know, to continue to help underprivileged kids. We have 2 long-term goals, which is to open up a shelter. We want to open up a shelter for families. What we experienced when we tried to go into the shelter system was dad couldn't come with us. You know, so it was like, yeah, no, this is not happening. We're not going to break the family up. There's too many broken homes already. You know, to now you want to take the fall. I could see if he was incarcerated, but we know we're not doing that. So we would like to open up a shelter for families wherein as a whole and open up a community center, like one that's for academics and athletics, and just teach basic skills, you know, money course, just teaching the kids who don't know how to read it, all around basketball, football. Just we have a broad picture, like a broad idea of how we want the community center. But that's something that's our goal for like within the next 5 years.
So I got to ask you a couple of fun questions mm-hmm. because I know your husband was a Jets fan.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm looking at him because he's back over here. how does the family identify?
Well, I mean, it's easy because when Saquon first got drafted, it would have been ideal if he would have got drafted for the Jets for him, you know, but because he got drafted with the Giants, it was still New York based. I mean, because my oldest son is a Giants fan. He's a Jets fan. But the crazy part was when we would be at the games and they're playing the Jets. And he's there with a Jets jersey on. And I'm sitting there with a number 26 jersey on. And I'm like, here you go, the camera's just on us. Like, Saquon Barkley, dad, really sitting there with a Jets jersey? But like you say, it can't change. I don't care who you are. You're not good. I'm a fan. He's a fan of Saquon's.
Mm-hmm.
But his team is the Jets.
Is the Jets. And mm-hmm. So who are you a fan of?
I am just a fan of Saquon because I don't care for sports.
But do you have an Eagles jersey now?
I do. I don't like them, but I do. Always had a Giants jersey.
What?
I had an Eagles jersey. I wear my jerseys. I support my son. I support the team because it takes more than just one person. It's a mm-hmm. team effort. So I'm sitting there yelling at everybody. I'm like, get it together. Get it. You know, yeah. That's just me.
And so I have to ask you, because you lived in New York. New York has Wild fans. Now, you know, you're in Philly and Philly has Wild fans too. How do they compare?
I mean, I hate to say it, but I am going to say Philly hands down.
Bam! You heard that.
Philly's hands down.
And what makes Philly's fans so to stand
y'all
out to
crazy.
You?
We was on the other side. You know, now we on this side, but we was on the receiver side. And we came out here for games when the Giants would play the Eagles. And I'm like, oh my gosh. I mean, we was in a stadium one time and he had just a New York hat on. And some guy walked past him and said, poop. Slapped the hat right off his head. And I'm like, no. Another guy, somebody else stepped in and was like, you know, you don't do that. But now we on this side. So I like it where we at now.
So you like being on the side.
I like it.
Eagles.
I like being on this side.
So what was it like last year? You know, Saquon was a new Eagle, mm-hmm. you know, new to the team, and had the best season of his career being here. What was it like watching that and then going to the Super Bowl? Because I have to say, the Giants ain't go to the Super Bowl like the Eagles.
Yeah, no, they didn't. It was enjoyable. That was something that Saquon wanted to get off his bucket list. And for him to actually make it to the Super Bowl, it was amazing. I was so happy for him because he got something done that he wanted to have done. Something that he talked about as a kid. All he ever talked about was, I want a Super Bowl ring. I want a Super Bowl ring. And he got it. I don't care if he don't get another one. He got that one. You know, so you can't take that from him. And I love it for him. Love it.
Yeah. And so what do you think Saquon's best quality is?
I think his personality. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Because Saquon is like, he's kind of funny, you know, I would say. And you to know him is to know him. You know, I'll speak on it as y'all see him, but we see him. You know mm-hmm. what I mean? So it's different.
Yeah.
You know?
And some of the most viral moments he's had is moments of kindness, mm-hmm. giving his gold medal to a young lady from Penn State, helping somebody over a barrier during the parade who was trying to touch you, just brought him over. I mean, just moments of kindness.
I think it was basically as they was growing up, we taught them that you place no value on anything but your life. So, you know, wherein someone may value this or value that, he doesn't. So giving away a medal, it's like, I know I won, but do I need this medal for validation? No, I don't.
That was Tanya Johnson, mother of Eagles running back Saquon Barkley and head of the Michael Ann and Saquon Barkley Hope Foundation. They're hosting their very first Hurdles for Hope Gala on November 1st. You can find more at masbhopefoundation.com. You can hear Studio 2 live Monday through Thursdays at noon on 90.9 FM and streaming on YouTube. Studio 2 is produced by Debbie Builder and Andreas Copes. Diana Martinez engineered today's extra. From Studio 2 here at WHYY in Philadelphia, I'm Cherry Gregg. Thanks for listening.